You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministry. Now, our ministry teaches what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. And one way we do that is through a 9-week small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Go to CompassCatholic.org, click on Bible Studies, and take a tour of this 9-week study. You'll see the different topics that are discussed over the 9 weeks. And if you feel this would be an excellent Bible study for you and your friends, fill out the contact form and we'll get back in touch with you. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministry, join me today. And here it is, 2017. Wow, right around the corner. And today we want to discuss New Year's resolutions, whether it's losing weight, getting healthy, or a biggie, getting out of debt. Today's show is entirely devoted to tips, advice, suggestions with staying focused so you can achieve your goal. So Evelyn, let's start out with the big picture. Tell us about resolutions.
Most resolutions don't last more than 2 weeks, so by the time people make them, they're getting ready to break them.
I can relate to that.
Are you going to have a bunch of resolutions you're going to make and break?
No, I quit making them.
Cop out.
It's easier that way. Then I don't have to worry about breaking them.
So let's test this one. I'm going to mention some of the most common resolutions, and you tell me which ones you think you're going to make.
I'm going to make them or break them?
Yes.
Okay.
Stay fit and healthy.
Probably.
Lose weight.
Probably.
Spend more time with family and friends.
Probably.
You're batting 1,000. I'm not sure if that's good or bad. Get organized.
I'm already organized.
You're not organized. You've already broken that one before you made it. What about spend less and save more?
I'm doing that already.
There you go. That's the only one I think we can honestly say we're keeping.
Yes.
Because we've already been doing it.
We've been doing that one for a long time.
Yeah. So even though a lot of people don't make resolutions like us, it's a good time to stop and evaluate what's going well and where you can make improvements, and then to develop a plan to actually implement those improvements.
So during the new year, if you make a resolution to follow God's call and get your finances in order, then you need to have a Bible verse that you could use as the theme song.
The theme for the year.
Yeah, the theme verse, the theme verse.
So I assume you have one in your back pocket?
Well, the one I came up with would probably work for most people. I'm sure it won't work for everybody, but I think it's a good one. It's from Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. It says, that you should put away the old self of your former way of life, corrupted through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created in God's way, in righteous and holiness of truth.
Well, that sounds good. That sounds like a great resolution verse.
So take off that old suit, throw it away, give it to Goodwill, and put on that new godly suit.
You know, I like that theme because a lot of times our old self is related to all the consumerism the world throws at us. We just kind of fall into it without even thinking about it.
Then maybe you shouldn't get a new suit. Maybe you can find one that's secondhand.
Just keep the one you were going to give to Goodwill, right? But when
get it cleaned first, though.
But when we learn how to manage money God's way, it really does renew our spirit, and it breaks us away from that old self that's slave to consumerism.
Well, you know, one of the best ways to get your finances in order is to understand that God really does play a role in your finances, and one day, someday, yet unstated, unknown, you're going to be accountable to Him for how you handled all the blessings that He's given you.
So, although many people make resolutions and then break them, I believe if you truly make a resolution that's centered on God and wrapped in prayer, it's much easier to find the strength to maintain and keep that resolution.
So, I think we've got some ideas maybe that will help you stick to the resolutions that you're going to make and stick to them longer than 2 weeks.
Well, you know, we started out by talking about some of the most often made resolutions, and one of the things you can do to begin with is to don't set a lot of resolutions. Just find one thing that's really, really important that you want to accomplish and concentrate on that one thing.
That will allow you to stay focused, and I think that's the key. That's the point of just having one, is that you can really stay focused to what that resolution is. So don't make it too tiny, like, yeah, I'm going to trim my nails every week or something like that. Make it robust.
So the one thing in your life that bothers you the most that you really, really want to change, right? Talking about that, it's important to have a reason why you want to make the change. If others are pressuring you into losing weight or spending more or saving more or whatever, you're not really going to make the change if you're motivated by what others are telling you to do. It needs to come from your own heart.
Even more so than just your own heart, hopefully it's going to be a desire that's deep driven in order to please God.
So one of the things that we found most helpful in helping people change their finances or get their finances in order or stop overspending or start saving, if that's related to one of your resolutions, is the Navigating Your Finances God's Way Bible study.
And that's a great one. And if you don't know if your church is going to offer that, call us and we'll help you get it started. One of the frequent things that we've heard from people who've taken the study is, gee whiz, I really wish I'd learned this stuff earlier. I mean, we even said that a long time ago when we were first introduced to it. It would have been so much better if we'd learned this earlier, then we wouldn't have been in such a stew over the mess that we'd created.
But the teacher doesn't appear until the student is ready, and we probably weren't ready for the message earlier than we learned it.
You're probably right, maybe.
Maybe. I'm never right all the way, am I?
Just for a second, for those that may not be familiar with Navigating Your Finances God's Way, can you give us a 60-second overview?
It's a 9-week Bible study done in a small group environment, so you can gather people from your parish or friends, and it's all about what the Bible and the church teaches about how to manage your money in a way that honors God. There are Bible verses to read, discussion questions related to the Bible verses, and personal financial exercises that nobody knows about but you.
And it's some great discussion.
It's good discussion.
It's a great discussion. And, you know, one thing I think that stops people is because we call it a Bible study, quote unquote, they think, well, we've got to do it at church, and it's got to be in this real formal setting, and not true. Not true. You can gather two or three other couples and sit in your living room every Friday night or Saturday or Wednesday night or whatever and do it right there in your living room. It doesn't have to be that formal a setting.
But you're right. The words Bible study do frighten people away because I know nothing about the Bible, but the feedback at the end, you always hear, it's not what I thought it was going to be. And it's amazing what a tremendous help it is in getting you to reduce and eliminate your debt and live a debt-free life.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that scares people off is the topic of money. They think they're going to have to lay their financial...
lay bare their lives.
Everything. How much debt, how much that, you know. But we don't do anything with your personal finances. That's all personal, and it's not shared
you
with
do
anyone
it.
In the group.
Don't misunderstand what she's saying. You're going to work with it.
But it's not shared.
But you don't have to share that information.
Yeah.
And the neat thing that comes out of this, too, the individuals or the couples find out that they're not in this alone. There's others that have the same financial challenges as they do, and they hear stories.
Well, and the other thing is, even if people make a lot of money or if they're struggling to get by, the people have the same struggles. You know, how many six-figure income couples have we known that can't make ends meet because they've overextended themselves? So it's not how much money you make or how little money you have. It's how you're managing what God's given you.
How you manage and what your attitude is, where your heart is. You know, do you have all of these things, all this stuff, because you earned it and you deserved it? Or do you have them because, for some reason, God blessed you?
Amen, brother.
So if you're trying to get your financial life in order and that's one of your resolutions, this is a great little kick in the rear end to help you move on down the road.
it's a Catholic radio station. Are we allowed to say kick in the rear end?
Yes, because if it wasn't a Catholic radio station, you can say kick in, well, you know. I'm just saying. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
We do talk about reconciliation.
That's true. Good point.
Back to resolutions, guys. Can I have your attention, please? The next thing is to make sure your resolution is achievable, because it's real easy to get carried away. You know, if you are trying to save for an emergency fund and you need to save $1,000, you're probably not going to be able to do it by saving $500 each month for 2 months.
Right.
You might have to do $50 or $25 a month for a lot longer to build up that emergency fund. So make sure it's something that you can actually achieve and not some wishful thinking.
And hold yourself accountable. You know, write it down. This is what my resolution is. I'm going to save a specific amount of money, and you fill in the blank there. You know, $25, $50, whatever. Every single month. And if you don't do it in a month, then you got to double down the next month, and you got to get really serious about it. Or this resolution is just going to fade off into resolution never, never land.
Resolution never, never land. That's a sad
place to
be. That's
a tongue twister.
And for those who say, I don't have 25 or 50 a month to put into an emergency fund, evaluate where you're spending your money by keeping a budget. You'll be shocked at how easy it will be to find that $25 a month.
Actually, it's not even keeping a budget. Just keep track of what you spend.
Mm-hmm. Well, and $25 a month is less than a dollar a day. And you can save that by being careful on where you buy gas. Because I was looking at the gas prices the other day.
Okay.
And from the previous week, our gas prices went up 18 cents.
Yes.
So if you buy 20 gallons of gas for your car, that's like, what, $3.60?
Mm-hmm. In savings.
In savings.
Yes, yes.
If you funnel that toward a savings account, that's $3.60 of your 25. A lot of people can't save until they have the whole 25, and they don't understand the magic of just doing a little bit on a regular basis.
And coming up, we have tips on staying focused when it comes to getting out of debt. This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry on Breadbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
And welcome back to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministry, teaching you the best ways to reduce your debt with the goal of getting completely debt-free. Learn about our ministry at CompassCatholic.org. John and Evelyn Bean join me today, and we're discussing the New Year's resolutions, specifically the one that many of us make that says, I'm getting out of debt this year. And Evelyn, what is one suggestion that you would make to help us stay focused on the goal of becoming debt-free?
Having a Bible verse to help you concentrate on a resolution that you want to achieve this year is a great way to stay focused and to increase your prayer life and to spend more time with God. So if your New Year's resolution concerns a financial challenge, we have some Bible verses to help you succeed.
So you can kind of have a theme for all of your resolutions.
Except you're supposed to concentrate on one.
But then you can have a Bible verse for the one or two that you really are going to focus on.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
What's the first one?
The first one we're going to focus on is getting out of debt.
Why wouldn't that be nice to be out of debt?
So the verse that we want to focus on here is Proverbs 22:7. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave of the lender. When you're focused on getting out of debt, that's one of these big, humongous objectives for most people, because I mean, you can't just say, well, in 30 days I'm going to be able to get out of debt.
Because
a typical person, it can't.
Because debt includes the credit cards.
Yes.
Consumer loans.
Yes.
The car loan.
Yes.
Student loans.
Yes.
The mortgage.
Yes.
So for many people, that's just a humongous burden to get over.
Furniture loans.
So we need to eat the elephant once bite at a time, right?
I don't like elephant.
What's the first bite you're going to take?
The first one I'm going to take is go after credit cards.
Okay.
Because I think that's the one that really, number one, is easiest to attack. It's the one that we see all the time because we've got those credit cards in our wallet. That might be the first mistake.
It's usually one with the highest interest. I mean, credit cards typically have a higher interest rate than car loans or mortgages, too.
Absolutely.
Even though the amount may be smaller.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, to begin with, when you're starting to tackle this piece of the elephant, promise yourself that you're not going to incur any new debt. I mean, it's pretty hard to get out of debt if you keep incurring more and more and more debt.
So you need to do something with the credit card so you're not going to use it.
There's a lot of things you can do, but the first thing, the easiest thing, is just don't carry them with you.
Mm-hmm.
Leave them at home. You know, what's that commercial? Don't leave home without it? Yeah, don't leave home with it.
That's good.
And if you have to use a credit card for whatever reason, make sure absolutely in capital letters that you pay off that new amount that you purchased, that you spent, at the end of the month.
So in addition to making whatever payment you need to attack the debt, you need to pay off what you charged plus a little bit on actually getting into the debt that you had previously.
On the existing, yeah, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And if you can't do that, you must suffer the penalty.
Which would be what?
Cut it up.
Oh. You just made a whole bunch of people listening to us go with Twitter.
They got the willies, huh?
We never had enough nerve to do that.
That's true. I was always chicken.
Yep.
But I do want to throw this in because, and let me ask you this question. Do you think a lot of people don't fulfill that resolution of getting out of debt because they look at the balance and they say, well, this will be too big, I'll never be out of debt, and they kind of quit?
No, I don't think so. I don't think most people pay attention to the balance. I think they just get into a lifestyle that says, I buy what I want, and I use my credit card to buy what I want, and I just make the minimum payments.
They look at the monthly payments, and
yeah.
That's the only thing they look. Yeah. I mean, you know, every credit card now, by law, tells you how long it's going to take mm-hmm. you to pay it off at minimum payment values. And if people really paid any attention to it, and they saw that it was going to take them 20 to 40 years to pay that off.
And calculated the amount of money they pay in interest.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, read your credit card statement. You know, that ought to give you the willies all by itself.
I know you and Evelyn are sitting here and you're talking about being debt-free and how great it feels, but it wasn't always like that.
Because
you both have been in major debt and you've been able to dig yourself out of that hole.
We did. It was a long, hard process, but once we made up our minds to do it, and just so our whole ugly story is out there is a good way to put it. We had a mortgage.
I sent everybody my picture.
we had two car loans. We had $35,000 in credit card debt.
Yes.
And no savings.
Correct.
Because we'd spent all our savings
maintaining.
We'd spent
all of our savings, yeah.
And we got audited by the IRS because they wanted to know how we were maintaining our lifestyle, but they didn't look at the $35,000 in credit card debt that we had, which we were using to supplement our income. And it was ugly.
Yeah.
It was very ugly.
Yeah it was. And so, yes, Steve, we did that. We know from experience that you can get out of there.
And that's my point is.
You got to work at it, though.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen overnight. It actually took us probably, and we're not the fastest people in the world, you got to understand. I mean, I've heard stories of people who were able to get out of $70,000 or $80,000 of credit card debt in a year's time or 18 months' time. And it took us probably 3 years to get out of our $35,000 worth of debt.
But you were focused on that. I mean, this was a resolution that you were committed to getting yourself out of debt.
Yeah, we finally woke up and realized how much money we were wasting in interest and what the money arguments were doing to our marriage.
Well, yeah, that was it. I think it's get rid of this debt and fix this problem or get divorced. Those are kind of
ugly scenarios, the two ends of the spectrum.
It was a wake-up call, yeah.
It was a wake-up call. So it's not easy, but man, does it feel good when you accomplish it.
Yes,
absolutely. It's such a freeing thing.
Pick one card and focus on that card and put as much money as you can against that card, pay the minimum on the rest of the cards, and pay any new debt that you accumulate every single month.
And that was one thing we did. We didn't accumulate any new debt. We just concentrated on paying things off.
Right, right.
We quit using the cards.
And actually, she said that we were chicken and we wouldn't cut up our cards, and that's true. We froze our credit instead, literally. We put the cards in a bag, put the bag in a pot of water, and put the water in the freezer. Our credit was frozen.
So you went to all cash?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Actually,
yes.
We went to understanding that most of the stuff we were buying was not a need, it was a want, and we just quit buying a lot of stuff that we really didn't have to have.
But it was cash basis, you know. Mm-hmm. We would carry enough cash around, or we carried a checkbook, or, you know, but it was cash. It wasn't credit. And everything that we didn't need was an absolute essential we got rid of.
Yep.
We didn't have cable TV. We didn't have any big phone or anything like that. We had, of course, there weren't any cell phones back then.
It was in the dark ages. So let's talk about the next resolution. How about saving money? Do you have a verse for someone whose resolution may be saving money, John?
How about Proverbs 21:20? Precious treasure and oil are in the house of the wise, but the fool consumes them.
So this is a good verse for those people that are so caught up on saving that they don't pay themselves first. They want to save, but they don't take the time to pay themselves first. They spend money on everything else other than saving.
So they come last, is what you're saying.
Their priority for saving comes last.
Yes.
It's easy
yes.
to spend rather than
yes.
save, whereas
yes.
saving should come first.
Yes, and You gotta pay yourself first. And, you know, you probably have heard that since you were a little kid. Pay yourself first. Pay yourself first. So if I pay myself first, there's not enough left for everybody else. Well, guess what? That's their tough luck. Stop spending with them, and then you won't have to pay them.
And one of the best ways to do this is to track where you're spending money, because that lets you see where money may be leaking out of your wallet. For example, we've had people that thought they were spending about $50 a month on lunches out, and when they actually tracked it for a month, they found out it was more like several hundred dollars
yes.
on lunches.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing about writing it down. What's in black and white doesn't lie to you. If you just keep it in your head, you can make it be anything you want it to be.
Yeah. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes.
There
That's
you go.
From Proverbs 2, right?
There you go. And I want to go right back to what I said just a little bit ago. If you don't put money in the bank, in an envelope or someplace that is classified as your savings, you haven't saved a penny.
So if I buy a $10 item for $5, I haven't saved $5. I've just avoided spending $5.
Exactly. Unless you put that $5 in your savings envelope or put it in your savings account, you haven't saved anything.
I got it. What about a resolution to stop overspending?
Stop overspending.
Do you have a verse for that?
You think people really do that?
Yeah.
How about 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil.
So what's that have to do with overspending?
You're in love with money, you're in love with possessions, and you're going to go buy it.
So overspending is using money as a form of gratification.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you get the power and the fun and the fulfillment and all that short-term happiness, and then you get home and reality sets in. You're going to get that bill. What are you going to do now? You got to get past that.
So that gets back into having a savings plan and tracking your spending so you know where the money's going. And you can analyze whether you're spending it on what is most important to you.
Exactly. Are you wasting money or are you using it wisely?
And most of the time people find out that they may be using a lot of it wisely, but they're wasting some of it.
The Bible study that John and Evelyn mentioned a few minutes ago, it's called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. In fact, you can take a look at the topics that are discussed over the 9 weeks by going to CompassCatholic.org and click on Bible Studies. There's also a contact form on the page. If you love what you see and you want more information, just fill it out. Now, when we return, what are the top two listed resolutions? And they're the first to be broken. This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry on Breadbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Redbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministry. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of Compass Catholic, join me today. And we're going through what so many have been thinking about, talking about, those New Year resolutions. And today, we're offering tips to help you stay focused on that one top resolution of yours. And John, there is one that we rarely, and I underline the word rarely, hear about. I want to increase my giving. Do you have a Bible verse for this one?
I absolutely do. It's from Acts 20:35. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus who said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Do you know if there is a specific mark drop in giving after Christmas? Because it seems like Thanksgiving and Christmas time is a time when a lot of people will give to various charities, and we have Giving Tuesday, and there's year-end giving, and a lot.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So does giving drop off in January?
Absolutely.
So how do we continue giving for the rest of the year?
First of all, giving must be, I don't want to use the word preordained, but
premeditated?
Yeah,
planned?
Planned giving, you know, and that sounds like you're leaving a legacy or something like that. You're going to give money to the church or when you die. But, you know, giving must be intentional. Giving must be intentional.
So it's not pull out whatever's in my purse or pocketbook or pocket when the basket comes around. It's a conscious, prayerful effort to decide how much I'm going to give every Sunday.
Exactly. And, you know, it says in Scripture that giving should be done with a happy heart.
How many times have you seen people smile when the collection basket comes past?
How about when they laugh? When they, you know, they're laughing because, oh, look, there's nothing in there, you know. But if your giving is intentional, then one of the things that I would suggest is that you plan out over the course of each of the 12 months where you're going to give money and how much you're going to give. And if you do that, then I think you can reach your goal of giving more money. And you can do that. A lot of the giving, now, we happen to write a check every Sunday for Mass instead of doing it electronically. I just got a problem with that because I think that giving at Mass is a way of honoring God as part of the whole process of the institution of the Mass. And if you're doing it electronically, then I think that sometimes we just treat that as another bill.
But that's your personal opinion.
That's for my other personal people, opinion. Yeah.
For other people, giving electronically is a much more planned way to do it because then they don't forget.
Yes, I agree. But now, all of the other gifts we give, other than church, are all done on a monthly basis through an automatic bill pay so that the charity doesn't have to pay a credit card fee or anything like that. It's an automatic bill pay. The bank cuts a check and mails it to that charity. That's the way that you can be intentional, and you can set an amount based on your income or how much you want to give every year, and then plan it out for every month. And bingo, you've got it.
So it's important, if you're thinking about increasing your giving, to really analyze what you did in the past year and to look at where you're giving. You know, is it the church? Is it another Catholic organization? Is it something that your friends are doing that you want to support? Is it a community organization that's close to your heart?
Mm-hmm.
How much you want to give,
mm-hmm,
and how often you want to give.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, another way of looking at it, and we have a chart that we use in our Navigating Your Finances God's Way, is where are you giving? How much are you giving on the local level? How much are you giving on the regional level? And on the national level, and on the global level.
So that would almost go to, like, my parish, my diocese, some U.S. organization, and some international organization.
Yes, yes. Okay. And the other thing, and again, this is personal, But we are very particular about who we give to, and we don't really, except for one organization that I can think of, give to any secular charities. Everything is church-related, because the church covers so many different bases. It's a way of accomplishing giving in a good way through a good organization where it's going to max the beneficiary.
Well, and everybody can give to a secular organization, but only Catholics are going to give to a Catholic organization.
That's
99%
true.
Of the time.
That's true.
You know,
true.
The other thing is a lot of people think they can't give until they get their finances straightened out. And I would encourage you to start giving now, even if it's a very small amount, and then increase it as you get your finances straightened out. I don't think you can start giving too early, even if it's a very nominal amount at the moment.
Well, it's part of an attitude transformation. Okay. Your heart, where is your heart when you start thinking about giving? Is it, well, gee, I've got to give something to somebody.
Like an obligation.
Is it an obligation? Or are you looking at it, everything I have is a blessing from God. He owns 100% of it. How much of God's stuff am I going to keep, and how much am I going to share with others?
So it's not how much of my money I'm giving to God.
Right.
It's how much of God's money do I need to keep.
Exactly, exactly. And I think if you can make that transformation, in your mind you might already understand God owns everything, but it's a very difficult transformation to put that thought into your heart and live your life from that perspective. But if you can do that, then it changes the whole atmosphere of giving.
Well, I know from personal experience, we used to be very grudging givers, and it was a minimal amount that we felt obligated to give, and it was more like, oh, we have to do this. And now we give because it's fun. I mean, we can bless people with our ability to give to different organizations.
Yes, yes.
And that's very joyous.
Well, and the other thing is, when we retired, we thought, well, now our income is going to be, you know, fixed.
Yeah.
And so we should curtail our giving to be appropriate to our fixed income.
And we went over who we were giving to and said, no, we don't want to cut them. No, we don't want to cut them.
So basically, nobody got cut.
It was all organizations that were important to us, and we
yeah.
really share their mission and their vision.
Yep, exactly, exactly.
All right, so let's move on to the next resolution, which is another one you said you weren't going to keep, which is to stay fit and healthy.
You know, the verse here comes from 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been purchased at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And I'm going to keep on going. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been purchased at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body.
You know, more than one-third of everybody who makes a resolution has staying fit and healthy as one of their resolutions. It's on their list.
Yes, that's true. That's true. I looked that one up just to see, because I figured most everybody does that one.
I mean, look at all the TV ads you're seeing now for weight loss programs, join a gym, exercise machines.
See, we DVR everything, so we don't see any commercials.
Oh, I love watching commercials. That's all I watch. Yeah, I fast forward through the shows.
No, you don't. You DVR just as much as we do, don't you?
Yeah, but you can see these things.
I don't even pay attention to it. So staying fit and healthy and losing weight are probably the most listed resolutions, and they're probably the first two resolutions to get broken.
Absolutely, yep.
We're
yep.
still in holiday season when people make them.
Exactly,
so
exactly.
Do you have some ideas on how to stay fit and healthy and lose weight, how you can encourage yourself to do that?
Buy a muzzle. How about if you do it with a friend?
That always helps in any situation where you're trying to change something.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a group of friends.
Or a group of friends, yeah. Especially things like when, you know, you're going to the gym or you're riding bikes or you're walking, you know. How many times do you drive through the neighborhood early in the morning or late at night and you see a group of people that are walking together, maybe two or three people mm-hmm. that are walking together? And that's what they've done to help them. I mean, they may be just really good friends, but it helps them to stay true to that resolution that they're going to get more exercise.
It's like, have you seen the two ladies that we live in the same neighborhood, Steve? The two ladies that walk and pick up trash?
Oh, yeah. They've been doing that for years.
Yeah, they're members of our church, mm-hmm. and every morning, early in the morning, like 7 o'clock, they're walking with little bags, and they pick up stray trash that's in the neighborhood. It's a beautiful thing.
They got their bag and their trash pickers.
And their little lights so people can see them.
And, yeah. And John and I see those same two ladies that walk every morning at 5:30 in the morning.
They're out on walking. Seneca, yeah.
Well, you guys are practicing this because you ride your bikes together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's three of us, yeah.
Yeah, we do that. We do that.
So you're a very good example. Your routine, when you do it, and you have to tell everybody that's listening that you do it more often than not, is you have a little process. Like Steve leaves his house at a certain time. You meet up with him somewhere along the route that you've chosen to ride your bikes.
Right.
Then you come into a different neighborhood and pick up a third guy that rides with you at a certain point. And so you have this whole little process worked out where you know who to meet where when. And I think that helps you stick to what you're doing.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's the best way. Having that kind of a process is the best way to be able to maintain your goal.
We're going to take a real quick break. And when we return, the last few additional tips, suggestions, advice to help you stay focused on keeping your New Year's resolution. Plus, we have a resolution that very, very few of us ever considered. This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry, and you're listening to Breadbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministry. In fact, during the break, we were talking about how the ministry can play a huge role in helping you fulfill one of your New Year's resolutions, the one that you wrote down that said, in 2017, I'm going to get out of debt. Here's how we can help. Go to CompassCatholic.org, click on Bible Studies, and take a look at Navigating Your Finances God's Way. We'll not only show you how to reduce but eliminate the debt and live a debt-free life. If you love what you see and you think this would be perfect for me and my friends, perfect for the parish, simply fill out the contact form and we'll get back in touch with you. Now, I have John and Evelyn Bean, who are the co-founders of Compass Catholic, in the studio, and we have been discussing New Year's resolutions and how to stay super focused so after 2 weeks you're not one of the average people who they say abandon their resolution within 2 weeks. And we're here to help you stay focused. So, John, we've touched base on a lot of the obvious ones, staying healthy, losing weight, getting out of debt. But you were telling me that you have another one that we sometimes lose sight of, as busy as many of us are. So what is that one resolution?
It's to spend more time with our family. Have we got a verse for that, Evelyn?
We have Proverbs 31, which is one of my favorite verses.
Ah, the Proverbs 31 lady. Yes, yes.
This is verses 26 through 29. She opens her mouth in wisdom. Kindly instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband, too, praises her. Many are the women of proven worth, but you have excelled them all.
If you've never read Proverbs 31, read it from start to finish. There's about 35 verses, I think, is all. It's a great story of diligent, hard work by a woman.
With a focus to the family.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, you know, things seem so crazy these days. Everybody's so busy. People have jobs. People have activities. The kids have got a lot of activities. And it's extremely easy to get caught up in the busyness of everyday life before we realize that our family relationships are suffering because we're so busy, we don't have time for the people that are closest to us.
Right, they've gone down the tubes.
So what can we do about it?
Well, I think the first thing is make it a priority. Set a time. For example, what about having dinner together? You know, it used to be daddy'd get home at 5:30 or 5 o'clock and dinner was at 6. Boom, boom, boom.
That was in the Leave It to Beaver days, which don't exist anymore. There should be at least one sacred family time a week. Maybe it's Mass and breakfast after Mass. Maybe it's dinner on Sunday. Maybe it's dinner on Monday. It's whatever night or time is available for the family to be together for a certain purpose.
Yeah. And then, you know, another thing that you could do, in addition to maybe having dinner or a gathering time every week, work on projects together. Maybe it's fixing something that's broken or cleaning out the garage or a closet or just stuff that you can do together.
Okay, Steve, this is how I'm going to get John to clean out the office.
Go for it.
We're going to do a project together.
I sit next to you all day long,
and
6 days a week.
So you're
together.
Wow.
We're not cleaning out the office, though.
That's a resolution for next year.
But working together, you know, often, especially if you have boy children, is a good way to get them to talk to you, because they're not going to talk to you sitting across the dinner table looking at you in the eye.
That's
and
true.
And if you're side by side working together and doing stuff, the conversation flows a lot easier with boys.
Interesting you just said that, because Audrey and I were in a meeting today, and the person we were meeting with talked about that. He said when our son, who was 16, you get one-word answers.
Yes.
Unless he and I are working on a project.
Mm-hmm.
He said then the relationship's different.
Yep.
There's five-word sentences. And it's funny you brought that up, because that is exactly what he talked about today.
Well, the standing joke in our family when my mom and dad would call us on Sunday afternoons was our son would always have the answer, fine. How's school? Fine. How are you doing? Fine. Are you feeling good? Fine.
Mr. Fine.
Yeah, Mr. Fine. You know, another...
Well, now his boys are the same way.
Yeah, we get the one-word answers from them. You know, another type of project a family can do is to volunteer together. Maybe work at a soup kitchen or do something at church. Or I know our church has families that take care of parts of the landscape, and that would be a great family project to do together.
Another resolution that a lot of people have, and they really don't know how to attack it, is to be less stressed.
This is where the finances are paramount, right?
Well, in a lot of cases, that's true, because, you know, finances can be a major stressor in life and in marriage and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And if you can get your finances cured, straightened out, whatever, however you want to phrase that, the stress will be reduced. I mean, we've experienced that.
Well, and the other thing is that a lot of parents don't teach their children about money, which leads the children to expect a lot of things the parents may not be able to afford.
Right.
So one of the ways to reduce the stress is to teach the kids about money so that they understand when mom and dad say, you can't have that or we can't afford that, that it's really a meaningful saying, and it's not, I don't want to buy it for you.
Right, right. They have an understanding of where that's coming from. We didn't talk about a verse. Have we got a verse for this, Evelyn?
We do. I think you have it, don't you? John 14:27.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid.
That's great. I love that verse. One way to reduce the stress is to not only teach your children about money, get your own finances under control, but also make sure that the things surrounding your life are in order. For example, getting enough sleep. You know, lack of sleep can be the result of stress, and lack of sleep can cause more stress.
Yes, absolutely. And I work hard to get enough sleep.
In his chair in the evening. I've heard you do that too, Steve. I haven't seen it.
No, that's just rumors.
Oh.
So I believe everything you hear.
Your wife is lying?
I didn't say that. You did. But, you know, this can go back to exercising and and being active and stuff, so that would help with the other resolution of losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
So lessen the stress, lose weight.
And then that makes
the
you
activity.
Sleep because you've got some activity. Yep.
How about just getting a hobby?
Well, as long as it's not something expensive, that's a great idea. Well, I mean, there's expensive hobbies and there's hobbies, right?
We're going to take up yachting, Evelyn.
Oh, yachting. We'll take up building boats with popsicle sticks. It's more along the lines of our budget.
You mean we got to buy all those popsicles now?
But a hobby is a good idea.
And another thing is we're so busy that a lot of times we don't have a good circle of friends. I mean, we got people we work with, but when we get home, you're by yourself or just within your family, but you're not... You don't have the opportunity to be social with other people.
So you're talking generally, not our personal situation.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I think we've got a great social circle,
yes.
and we make good use of it. But if you've got friends that you can share things with and you can laugh, and I think that's really important to the idea of reducing stress.
And our group of friends has a... consistent process, or I don't know what you would call it, of going out to breakfast after Mass on Sunday.
We do.
And we have anywhere from 4 to 20 people who join us.
Makes it a problem sometimes.
Some of the restaurants don't take call-ahead reservations. But we've gotten into the habit of doing that, and that's one of the highlights of our week, is just to gather with everybody and talk about the week and what's happened and what's coming up.
And it hasn't always been that way. When we were struggling financially, we never would have done that.
Because we didn't have the money.
We didn't have the money. And so, yeah, you have to be cautious and careful about the things that you say yes to, because you don't want to... You know, if I didn't have any money and I was saying yes to going out to breakfast every Sunday and spending, you know, $20 or $25 between the two of us for breakfast, that would be a huge stressor. And so you're going in the wrong direction.
Well, especially if you have children. So in that case, maybe the gathering after Mass is a potluck at somebody's house. How about reducing the clutter in your life? That's a great way to reduce stress. Living in chaos can create a lot of stress, and if your house is cluttered and disorganized and you don't have your schedule with you, and things just kind of spiral out of control. So getting yourself organized is a great way to reduce stress.
So we've been talking about resolutions here, and so we want to close this out with just understanding some of the things that will make your resolutions
Achievable?
Achievable. I guess that's a great word, Evelyn, achievable.
Okay.
And, you know, the first thing is to make sure that the resolution is achievable. Can I really accomplish this?
So don't make it too pie in the sky or try to do too many things at one time.
Exactly. You know, if you're going to get rid of debt, don't eat the whole elephant all at once, because you're going to choke to death. You know, take a bite at a time. Make your resolution as part of a long-term goal. So, for example, if my goal is to be debt-free, then paying off all these credit cards is a piece of my long-term goal of being debt-free.
Or if you're saving, maybe part of your long-term saving goal is to be able to buy a house or pay for college or fund your retirement.
Yes, absolutely. And you should be very specific about your goal. In fact, the more specific you can be, the more capable you will be of achieving that goal.
So saying I want to manage my money better is not a very achievable goal.
That's pretty vague.
But saying something like I want to save $1,000 for an emergency fund by the end of 2017 is a very concrete goal. You know the time frame, the amount, and you can measure your goal against your progress.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the other thing that's really important is to define where you are. You know, for example, this goal to become financially independent or financially free, you got to know where you are right now so you know how far you got to go and what the steps should be. So you got to evaluate your current situation.
Well, we've got to get out of here. Thank you so much for listening. Please join us again. This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry, and this is Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.